Welcome to the special SearchSystemsChannel.com Frequently Asked Questions podcast. I'm Matt Donnelly, Associate Editor with TechTarget's Channel Media Group. My guest today is Harley Stagner. Harley was the technical editor for Chris Wolf and Eric Halter's book, Virtualization from Desktop to the Enterprise, and is a freelance writer focusing on virtualization technology. He is also the IT director for a broadcast television station in Richmond, Virginia. Today, Harley and I will be discussing those questions VARs, consultants, and systems integrators often ask about VMware. Harley, welcome to the SearchSystemsChannel.com Frequently Asked Questions podcast.
Thank you, Matt. It's good to be here.
Let's jump right into the questions. First question, what kind of incentive or partner programs does VMware offer to its resellers?
So VMware has basically three reseller partner levels. There's a professional, an enterprise, and a premier level. These levels differ depending on your level of commitment to the VMware products. Their professional level is basically their entry-level reseller partnership, and it's offered for free. It offers partners the ability to resell VMware products, and you can also get not-for-resale versions of VMware products, some of them. If you go ahead and take the VMware Certified Sales Professional accreditation course, also offered for free, you can get not-for-resale access to VI3 Standard and Enterprise Edition. The Enterprise level is the second level and requires a little bit more commitment on your part as a reseller. There is an annual fee of $1,000 for developed countries and $500 for developing countries. Also, as part of the requirement, you need to have two VMware sales professionals and two VMware certified professionals as a developed country. And one VMware sales professional and one VMware certified professional as a developing country. What you get with the enterprise is, of course, not for resale versions of the entire VMware product line. You get access to VMware support incidents with the technical support, and you also get a dedicated sales account manager, among other benefits. Finally, the reseller must be invited to the premier level. And VMware chooses these resellers based on their level of commitment, sales figures. They don't really say on the website what the actual criteria is, but that's a good way to stand apart from the rest of the pack if you're invited into the premier level.
Is the VMware virtual desktop infrastructure solution worth pursuing now, or is it still too early to tell?
The VMware virtual desktop infrastructure solution is actually still in its infancy. But it's an interesting concept because it was actually born from clever customers that wanted to roll out desktops very rapidly. And what they did was they would just install like Windows XP on top of ESX server, and then the clients would use remote desktop protocol to connect to them. So what actually started as customers being clever is actually now being marketed by VMware and other hypervisor vendors as virtual desktop infrastructure. I do think there's an opportunity for any value-added reseller to start offering VDI solutions to the right type of client. Right now, VDI is not really well suited for heavy audio, video, or graphics work yet. VDI is almost perfect for, you know, your standard office applications, Word documents, email, things of that nature that don't really require a lot of audio, visual, because the remote desktop protocol is not quite up to snuff yet as far as that goes. What's more interesting is I believe there's an opportunity if you start combining vendors. So there's this software called Ardent's streaming platform, which is now owned by Citrix. And what it does is it streams hard disk images, you know, the OS application stack, to physical machines or virtual machines. And traditionally this has been viewed as a VDI competitor, since essentially you can do the same thing. You can stream from a central location an image of a hard drive, and each user gets their own version of that hard drive. But when you combine the two, it makes for a really interesting solution. So one of the problems with the Ardent solution, for example, has been the need to maintain different disk images for different hardware sets because of the drivers involved. Well, that problem disappears when you stream the disk images to a virtual machine, because all the drivers on VMware are uniform because they're all virtual hardware. So that combined with another problem with the VDI solution right out the gate is the need for disk space. So if you want 10 desktops for 10 different users, traditional VDI is that you need 10 to 20 gig hard drive images, one for each user. With Ardent, you can have a single shared disk image, golden image, if you will, and this can be streamed to the VMware VMs. So you would only have one 10 to 20 gigabyte disk image, and that would dramatically cut down the space needed for a VDI solution. So yeah, I think there are certainly opportunities out there, and it would be good for value-added resellers to get in early on that type of opportunity.
Does VMware offer special pricing or support material for those VARs that wish to target SMBs?
Yes, they do. This question gets asked, I think, because VMware is traditionally seen as a large enterprise-level product. However, these days VMware is starting to aggressively target the SMB market that has been largely untapped so far. They offer SMB-focused tools, like I said, to their reseller partners, and they even offer entry-level package pricing on its products in the form of the VI3 Starter Edition, which I believe retails for around $1,000, not including the required support, which I think starts around $670. And also, what's more interesting, on VMware's SMB solution page, they'll soon be offering new packages that are geared more towards the SMB market. These are the Virtual Infrastructure Acceleration Kits. They basically offer two or three ESX server licenses, as well as, you know, your standard features like VMFS, Virtual SMP, Virtual Center, even VMware Consolidated Backup in all of them. They come in three flavors: VMware Infrastructure Foundation, VMware Standard High Availability, and VMware Infrastructure Midsize. The Standard High Availability comes with high availability along with the other standard features, and the Infrastructure Midsize comes with all the advanced VMware features such as vMotion, Storage vMotion, Dynamic Resource Schedule. You get 30 training credits with that one. And so these newly priced packages should be available by the end of 2007. And, you know, it shows that VMware is serious about targeting the SMB market, and I think they're making some pretty aggressive moves towards that.
What licensing restrictions are in place for VMware virtual machines running Microsoft operating systems?
So as many have asked, there are licensing restrictions involved when you run Microsoft operating systems. Guest virtual machines. The two that I'm going to focus on are on the desktop side and on the virtual machine mobility side. On the desktop side, as many have heard, the end-user license agreement on Windows Vista prohibits users from installing Windows Vista Home Basic and Vista Home Premium as a VM guest. This is not really too troubling for value-added resellers. It's more troubling for those who may want to be experimenting home. But in my opinion, it's troubling nonetheless because it's essentially putting restrictions on the use of VMs, and that just stops great technology from being used. The server virtual machine mobility side is more damaging. Basically, what Microsoft has stated is that the server operating systems, besides Data Center Edition, the license must be tied to a physical server and not the virtual machine. So what this means is that if you want to do things like vMotion, Dynamic Resource Scheduler, High Availability, unless the customer is willing to obtain Data Center license or buy enough of the other server license to cover a number of Windows virtual machines, they can't do that because Microsoft has stated that you can only transfer a license once every 90 days. And with High Availability, you know, in vMotion as well, you're moving virtual machines from one physical server to another. So it forces customers to essentially, like I said, either buy that data center license or buy enough licenses to cover. So if you have two ESX servers, one version of Microsoft Server that's not Data Center Edition, you'd have to buy essentially two licenses. The other would not be used unless you vMotion.
What vendors have announced that they will be shipping servers preloaded with VMware ESX 3i?
So ESX 3i embedded is the new version of VMware ESX. It will be embedded in a flash module. The vendors shipping this solution would include the big ones like Dell, IBM, HP, Fujitsu. Dell should actually be the first vendor to ship one of these servers. The Dell solution is called the Dell Veso, It was previewed at VMworld 2007 and should be shipping at the end of November. What's interesting is this machine is purpose-built for virtualization. It includes dual quad-core Opteron processors, up to 128 gigabytes of memory, and four PCI slots. It'll also be diskless since it comes with ESX3i on that flash module, and it could potentially hold up to 20 NICs, which is great for virtualization depending on how many VMs you want to have installed on that system. The IBM solution will be shipped with the new X4 chipset. There's no shipping date yet, and it will have a virtualization appliance option. So it's not really geared towards virtualization itself. The virtualization will just be added as an option on that one. And Fujitsu should be shipping servers the first quarter of 2008 with ESX3i installed. They're shipping through their channel partners only, so good news for value-added resellers. They won't have competition on the front-end Fujitsu site. Dell, though, seems to be the only vendor so far that has purpose-built a server for the ESX3i platform. What's interesting is that recently Dell announced that they plan to buy Equalogic, which provides iSCSI storage arrays, and Equalogic also happens to be technology alliance partner with VMware. So what Dell is positioning themselves as is a one-stop shop for your virtualization infrastructure. They already have plenty of hardware, their NAS devices and their SAN devices through EMC on the hardware compatibility list. Equalogic makes one more. So that's a good position for Dell to be in. You know, servers come shipped standard with ESX. Well, you need the storage to go along with that for vMotion. Why not buy it from the same vendor?
Will customers still need virtualization services from VARs after the release of VMware ESX3i?
I do believe they'll still need virtualization services. However, the services may not be focused on just the installation and administration of VMware, and because things like ESX3i will be shipping preloaded on the server. It's not quite plug-and-play yet, but it is approaching that. What companies may still need help with are identifying suitable targets for virtualization and also putting together the right holistic infrastructure, including the storage and networking involved. There are many different disciplines involved when you're approaching a virtualization project, so companies would still need that kind of expertise. There's also the political side of virtualization. As many know, in the past, each department in the company might own a physical server, and they're budgeted that way. This is no longer possible when the systems are virtualized if you're consolidating many departments' servers onto one big ESX server. So the value-added reseller might want to create a business team focused on consulting to help the companies with the transition to virtualization, because the IT staff at the company, as well as the business managers, they need to be on the same page when the virtualization project comes to fruition, or virtualization project might ultimately fail.
What new market opportunities will emerge for VARs if virtualization technology, like that used by VMware, becomes a commodity?
I believe the IT field is going down the same path with virtualization as it does with many disruptive technologies. What we tend to do is implement first and ask questions later. For example, the PC. It started to become very popular with businesses, and big iron mainframe started to become obsolete. Companies' PC ownership grew exponentially. You know, the buzzword of the day was distributed computing. So what we have now is huge fleets of PCs that are difficult to manage and often riddled with security problems. So the information technology field is looking at this now and saying, you know what, we may have a problem. Maybe leaving the computing power in the data center was not such a bad idea after all. So the problem is that users have become so accustomed to the flexibility that distributed PCs offer. A change back to mainframes now would not be welcomed, and the current terminal services environment is not quite as flexible as PC. So in comes virtualization to solve some of the management and security problems on the desktop and the server side. So we implement this new technology, and it becomes the savior of the day. As virtualization technology like VMware becomes more ingrained into the corporate environment, we find ourselves asking, you know, some of the same questions. We're asking questions like, how do I control virtual machine patching when snapshots and rollbacks can be performed routinely? How do I secure my virtual machines if the network they use to communicate with each other is inside the physical server? How do I detect and prevent rogue virtual machines from showing up on my network? And all these are security questions. Security questions were asked after the fact when PCs became so popular. So the company that's able to answer these questions with proven solutions should be successful as virtualization technology becomes more of a commodity.
In addition to VMware Consulting, what other services can VARs offer to their virtualization customers?
The virtualization clients may need help with holistic infrastructure design, as I said before, including storage and networking. Also, virtualization tends to be game-changing as far as the IT business manager politics go. Helping customers with a proven method for dealing with issues like the departmental control of virtual machines, and also new accounting methods like chargeback, for instance. They'll need those kind of services. And this requires not only technical expertise, but business savvy as well. The VAR may want to employ a business-focused team to work alongside the technical engineering team. For chargeback, there is an interesting solution out there. It's provided by a product called vKernel, and this is a VMware-certified virtual appliance. And what it does is actually measures resource utilization and creates chargeback reports that can be used to invoice the appropriate department. So the price is, I believe, $199 per CPU socket. It's the only solution out there that I've seen that addresses the chargeback problem, since so many companies, when they implement virtualization, are now going to a chargeback model. And finally, one of the weaknesses I see in many value-added resellers is they do not offer training after the virtualization project is complete. I would argue that the project is not really fully complete until adequate training is completed for the staff, you know, because they're the ones that are going to be administering and using the VMware products. Perhaps a VAR could negotiate a deal with a VMware authorized training center, or even better, the VAR could employ some VMware certified instructors as the integration team. So the same people who perform the virtualization integration would be able to train the existing administration staff when they're done.
Is the VMware certified professional VCP a necessary credential for a VAR's employees?
Well, it's technically not necessary to work with the VMware products, but it does show potential customers that your employees have the necessary skills to handle a virtualization product. Also, as mentioned, the partner programs, the enterprise reseller partner level requires at least one VCP for developing countries, two for developed countries. So, you know, at the end of the day, if you want to stand out among your competition, I think having the staff with VCP credentials can certainly help with that.
And then the last question. What are some good starting points for a VAR that wishes to pursue VMware security offerings?
So VMware does not offer any products yet to specifically secure its platforms. However, VMware has the VMware Security Center on its website that offers white papers, security bulletins, and more along those lines. The more interesting aspect to VMware security is the fact that there are not many companies addressing virtualization-specific security concerns yet. BlueLane Technologies Virtual Shield is really the only product that I'm aware of that specifically deals with virtual machine threat remediation. The software works by discovering your pool of virtual servers, including their application and protocol stacks. And what it does is it takes the necessary steps to protect the unpatched virtual servers. So if anybody's interested in this technology, you know, more information can be found at BlueLane.com. So learning that technology and being able to provide a proven security solution based on it could prove to be a good head start for a VAR that wishes to specialize more in virtual security or provide virtual security as part of a larger package in their integration offerings. When competing products do arrive, like I said, BlueLane is really the only company doing this right now. It would be nice to say that you have been in the game the longest and you know, you were the VAR that was there right from the beginning, so you have experience in this field.
Thanks for joining me on the SearchSystemsChannel.com Frequently Asked Questions podcast, Harley.
Thank you, Matt. I'm glad to do it.
For more information on VMware and other systems issues that matter to you and your channel business, please visit us online at SearchSystemsChannel.com. And for an abridged version of this interview, please visit SearchSystemsChannel.com/VMware. Thanks for downloading our podcast. Please join us again next time for more Frequently Asked Questions.